I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold. We got Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley in for Cody today. Coming up a little bit later on, Josh Vernier, Royals Insider, going to join us at 12:30. As you guys know, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line wide open at 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. Make sure you guys subscribe. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan, whether it's Fesco and Dusty, us, or The Drive. We are always streaming live on those social media platforms as well. We haven't lost Bink yet. We're on day three of this thing.
No.
And you're still here.
Next week's going to be fun.
You're still here.
I've always wanted to ask you, how'd you get Drew to sing that song for the intro? Because it always sounds like Drew. How'd you get him to do that?
You think that's Drew singing?
I always thought it was Drew.
I'm glad you brought up Drew,
if
though.
If that's me, then I need somebody to run me some money.
Yeah.
What? Nil, buddy.
Well, yeah. Look, Bink, we give you a hard time all the, you know, about your dating life
every
yesterday.
Day you do, man. And I feel like the whipping boy on the show.
We noticed something immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately this morning. And it stood out.
Pay attention, Drew's wife.
Not about you, but about Drew. So to one, he's got a really nice Royals hoodie on today, which is good.
Nice.
Which is good to see.
It's 90 damn degrees, but whatever.
You know, it's not a random college. It's not a random pro team he claims or something like that. Bink, you pointed this out to me.
Yeah.
You said, hey, Drew, we were talking to Kramer, and Kramer was talking about his wedding and stuff.
He was talking about tattooing a wedding ring on his hand.
Yeah, and we said, absolutely not.
I said, I'm glad you
absolutely not.
Same way. I said, don't do that, man.
Do not get initials of somebody else on your body.
That's going to be hard to explain on Hinge in like 5 years, Kramer. Think about that. Like, that's going to be hard to explain.
But no, Drew thinks we're talking about Kramer. We're talking about you. Where's your wedding band today?
I think you could ask Cody the exact same thing every single day.
Where's your wedding band?
Drew doesn't have it on.
You could ask Cody that every single day.
What happened?
You're a bad example for Kramer.
You could ask Cody that every single day.
You're a bad example. You said it's on the table. Do you know where it is?
You could ask Cody that every single day.
Do you know where it is?
He's ignoring the question.
Hey, do you have his wife's number? Can we call his wife and ask if Drew's where his ring's at?
Did you lose it?
No.
You lost it, didn't you, Drew?
You can ask Cody that every single day.
We're not talking about Cody. Cody's got kids, been married forever. It doesn't matter. But you're a rookie.
You can ask Cody that every single day.
Does your wife know what's gone? Does she know you don't wear it to work? I mean, are you looking for somebody around here, Drew?
Just Cody.
If you're on the video stream, you can. Here's what's that. Drew cannot keep a straight face because Dusty and Mac are over there just cackling, telling him to say the same thing over and over and over.
Does Cody's wife know that he does not
wear
a ring?
Yes, by the way, actually,
I've never seen you wear it.
The answer to that is yes, but we're asking, what about you? You usually have the wedding band on.
I've never seen it.
You haven't been paying attention, though.
I did today. And I don't know why, but because Kramer was talking about it, I think.
Exactly. It was somebody
else. Did you really leave it at home or did you lose it?
Yes, it's at home.
Or are you looking for love?
It's at home.
Oh, jeez.
I got all the love I need at home, dude.
Doesn't sound like it.
Dusty wants to know where yours at, Bink.
I'm not married. I have lost it before.
You can go,
no, oh, say it. No, no, just open. You know what? Yeah. Today's like a Friday for me. I'm not back until Monday. So, you
bring
know, this
it,
is
Nixon,
like a Friday.
Bring it, Nixon. Come on. Shoot something at me.
People are convinced you lost the ring, man. Anyway.
I actually have lost mine before.
I'll go ahead and I'll wear it tomorrow.
Well, we won't be here tomorrow,
Drew.
We won't be here tomorrow.
No, damn, that's right. I'll wear it on Friday.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will.
Oh my goodness.
I'll be respectful. I'm not going to be disrespectful.
I want to know if you actually have it.
Yes.
He said he has it. He says he has
it. I bet you lost it.
He said he has it. No, he has it, I think. He's got it.
Left it somewhere.
He probably left it on the nightstand or something.
In his car.
Car? In the glove box, Drew?
Possibly.
Bink, you've lost yours 3 times.
Once, Drew.
Okay, yeah.
Once.
And there
we go. And they sent it back.
It took Drew about 2 minutes to finally get to it. He wanted to say it right away, and we had to warm him up. It took 2 minutes. There you go. Drop the hammer. Drop the hammer. All right.
It's going to be a hell of a show on Friday when it's just Bink and I.
Are you guys going to make it on Friday?
Oh, I don't know. Well,
real quick, let's get the other thing out of the way. You said your mom was at the casino yesterday.
Yeah. I dropped her off on the way in.
Did you end up picking her up or anything?
You know what? She actually found a way home with her friend before I got down there. She had to leave and go to lunch with all her friends and all that.
She's got a little bit of Alex Gold in her.
No, that's not nice.
Yeah, that's not true. It's not true.
That's not true. But she had a good day down there.
Good. I'm glad that happened. Casino, yeah. I'm glad that happened. All right, let's talk some Royals baseball.
Let's talk about Drew.
Well, we'll do that later again. Don't worry. I'm sure that'll come up a few times throughout the show today. But let's talk some Royals baseball. The losing streak snapped for starters, but you know, it seems so obvious when we talk about what's gone wrong with the offense all year, and we've said, hey, you know, your key guys have to contribute. And last night, right out of the gate, what happens? Bobby Wood Jr., Salvador Perez stepping up. They get 3 runs on the board right there in the first inning, and it seemed like you were able to kind of just cruise through the rest of the game. Seth Lugo was awesome. How many times last year we see baseball games when this team was able to get to the postseason where Seth Lugo pitches great, Bobby Wood Jr. was an MVP runner-up last year, Salvador Perez was having one of his best years of his career, and it was just one game. I'm not acting like everything is fixed after one night. Let's see what this road trip does. It obviously gives you some hope based on yesterday, but when your best players, when the guys that you headed into the season with that you knew you would have to rely on step up in a game, you're going to win most of those games, and that's what we saw last night. That was the combination that they're going to have, unless you think they're going to trade for multiple pieces at some point. They have to have Salvador Perez and Bobby Wood Jr. in particular playing at that kind of level. And in particular, Salvador Perez, because, you know, Bobby Wood Jr., I think we both were convinced is going to get on a run, and maybe it starts last night. Salvador Perez, there's been some signs that maybe you're worrying that, hey, Father Time has caught up. Yesterday, though, he ends up with a multi-home run game. And we heard this morning when Q was on with Fesco and Dusty that Salvador Perez was the player that called that players only meeting. And Salvador Perez was the guy that kind of got this team together last Saturday.
Yeah, and you would expect that. But Bobby Witt, though, I guarantee you he was one of the speakers too, Bobby, because that's basically what they
alluded to. Yeah, multiple guys spoke. Yeah,
I guarantee you. But that was fast. That's kind of the game you expect after the players only meeting, you know, like Sunday. But you got it yesterday and the day off. That was the most impressive win of the year to me for the Royals. It was that quick. Bobby Witt Jr., double, shows that speed, gets on second, because that's what he's known for. Then, boom, there's the run. And not only that, it's against Leiter, who doesn't give up home runs. He's given up 6 all year in 61 and a third inning. 6! The Royals touched him for 3, and Vinny actually had the longest hit ball at 413 feet, but it didn't go out. They almost got 4 home runs off of Leiter that's only given up 6 all season at that point. They were on a mission last night, and that was good to see. Now, will it translate to more? Who knows? But they played... Your stars played like you want them to play, and look what happens when they took it to heart. Because again, you have to perform. It's just kind of what we're talking about, JJ. You know, it's one thing you can speak and all that, but you got to perform for them to kind of buy into everything you're saying. And that's exactly what they did. But yeah, it makes me look at this road trip much differently. Now, I told you, man, get that first win. I mean, if they would have lost that one, you know, they were four games under 500.
Yeah, 5 under.
Now 3, go back to 5, you know, got tough teams on the road still with San Diego. You come back, you get the Dodgers here. So you're thinking, all right, what are they going to do on the road trip? Can they split? Can they go 500? I'm at the point now, 4-2. I mean, That would be realistic.
They would have to win tonight for me to think they truly. They would have to win tonight for me to truly think they can go on a 4-2 type of road trip. Like it is still one game. Promising sign, especially if Bobby and Salvi can get hot here for a couple of weeks. That changes everything. It doesn't even have to be the home run ball. That was just a welcome sign because we know this team just hadn't shown much power in 2025. And you know, it makes things a heck of a lot easier when you can put the ball over the fence, obviously. And so, yeah, it just take a deep breath. Can they get some confidence going? Can Salvi get hot? And all of a sudden you're in position where then the other guys come along with you, right? You know, we can talk about Jack Caglione at some point. When will he get going? Yeah, if your star players get going, that takes pressure off of him too. You know, it takes pressure 100%. Off of everybody else. That was the whole thing with this team throughout the entire season. It was never going to be about Hunter Renfroe and Kyle Isbell carrying the offense. It was always going to be, if this team was going to have a good year, it was going to be about Badua Jr. replicating to some extent what he did a year ago as an MVP candidate, runner-up. Salvador Perez being the captain. Vinny Pasquantino driving in 100-plus runs. It was going to be Jonathan India getting on base. None of that has changed. That is still the formula for this team. And then you hope if they get going, then Cags at some point does, and all of a sudden, then you're rolling. That's the dream scenario. It's one game. I'm not saying everything is fixed, but last night was just a welcome sign. We hadn't seen that in a long time, man.
Yeah, it's not fixed, but didn't you feel like that was their best performance of the year? I mean, just situation.
It was the easiest.
It
seemed like the easiest, relaxing game to watch in months.
Yeah, you weren't sweating it out at the end and everything. You get on the board, get those quick three runs really quickly, and that felt good. I mean, yeah, does it mean it's going to happen tonight? Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow, whatever. But for one night, you know, maybe it did sink into them. They get the urgency. Maybe this can, you know, get Bobby Witt Jr. going, turn Salvador Perez, get him going. The one down thing was Cags. Like, had Cags gotten a hit or two or an extra base hit or something like that.
You can tell he's clearly frustrated.
That would have really, really made it.
Yeah, you can tell he's very frustrated right now. Got to get going at some point in time. But I truly think if your captain and your MVP candidate and Bobby Wood Jr. from a year ago, if they get going, to me, that just takes some of the pressure off of Jack Caglione and the expectation on what you're needing from him. And hopefully he doesn't feel, you know, that burden as much as well. So Royals get it done last night. We'll talk more about them throughout the show today. Chris Bubich gets the nod tonight. So you feel like that gives you always a chance to win. But we'll see what they can do against the Rangers as the Royals try to guarantee
a
series
ace,
win.
But he's pitching like an ace.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if the Royals can guarantee a series win by getting game two. We'll talk to Vern about it as well later on in the show. Here in about 20 minutes, we've got a Caitlin Clark card update. We get texts, I'm not even kidding, once a day about what's going on with the card. If you guys have been following the show for a while, back in April, had the Caitlin Clark 101 card, was sending it to auction. PSA has taken a lot longer than I even thought it was going to take. I got a little update on that. Plus, we'll talk about Caitlin Clark last night, the WNBA, and the fighting that was taking place, and what I just think is honestly dumb when it comes to other players in the league at this point.
Did you watch it, Bink? Did you watch the WNBA last night?
Yeah, I no, but I saw the highlights. I saw the highlights.
All right.
Stanley Cup was on last night.
That is a good
the Royals were on last night.
So we'll talk about Caitlin Clark.
But I saw the highlights of it. WNBA and it's frustrating. Games. I'm glad that someone stuck up for it, put it that way. Mm. That's the meal ticket for that league.
Exactly.
100% exactly. The meal ticket.
So we'll get into that more coming up 20 minutes here on Cody and Gold. All right. The Chiefs minicamp, mandatory minicamp, day number two today. We heard from a few Chiefs players yesterday, and I was looking over at CBS Sports, and they were going through best case, worst case scenarios for every team in the NFL for this season. And yeah, we can check out some of the other rival teams if you want, but what they said about the Chiefs was interesting, and it got us thinking about what does worst case scenario look like? What does even regression look like, and how do fans handle that? So here, this was from Cody Benjamin. He wrote about the Chiefs. Best case scenario, he said, Mahomes' offensive line recovers from an ugly Super Bowl. A freshened up pass catching core led by Worthy and Rice reignites the deep attack, and the dynasty captures yet another championship. That's best case scenario. I would tend to agree. Worst case scenario, the line is reworked, but no less unstable, forcing Mahomes to scramble more than you like. Andy Reid's scheming can't undo lingering injuries. They fail to make the Super Bowl for the first time in 4 years. He says that's worst case scenario. One, do you agree that the end result is that worst case scenario for this team, just a failure in the Super Bowl?
Well, they've gotten to that point now where it's Super Bowl or bust. I'll never forget Kelsey, what he said after that Buccaneers loss in the Super Bowl. Someone asked him, successful season or not? And he's like, well, I can't put it that way. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But no, yeah. It's not because we win it all. Patriots get that point. If they didn't win it, it wasn't successful to them. It was about getting there. Because I'll never forget, Clark Hunt had that talk to the team before they won, that Mahomes won his first ring. It was in St. Joe. And he gave kind of the MO for the team for the year. He goes, listen, I want to win my dad's trophy. And let's go down. Let's win the Super Bowl in Miami. And they did. Like, I've never heard him really put a mission statement out to the team. But you heard it in the article there. And he kind of talked about it. That's what I'm talking about, the whole looking at their line. That's the one thing. Again, they had three sure. Pro Bowl offensive linemen, two first-team All-Pros on that line. But that's what people are talking about, is the Chiefs' line. Obviously, for obvious reasons, shows you how important that left tackle is when you have, you know, three Pro Bowlers on your offensive line. But he did bring that right up in that article. But can you handle regression? I don't know. I mean,
what does that look like?
I've lived in this town my whole life. I remember 21 years without winning a playoff game. I remember what that felt like. I remember making the one AFC title game in my lifetime, being in 94 in Buffalo, and just the excitement of actually playing in that game and then getting spanked around by the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I remember those times. But then I remember the lean times, about getting to the postseason, not winning a game, the Marty years, those kind of years. I remember all that stuff. So, yeah, can fans handle it? And I don't know, they're so accustomed now to putting their Super Bowl spreads out now and not watching the Patriots, watching the Chiefs. And can they handle it if the Chiefs don't win the division? Because I've seen people completely melt down on the text line or calls or whatever on the Chiefs postgame show. When they lose a game where it's a real close game, it's, you know, fire Andy and all this. Like, give me 10 other coaches. Give me 10 other coaches that you'd want. Let's just start with that, because I'm looking at the number two all-time guy in postseason wins. And Patrick Mahomes, by the way, is number two all-time
in
postseason wins for quarterbacks. We'll get to that. But just find that out. Can you handle regression? Because a few years ago, and even the last couple of years, and they've been 15th in offense in the NFL as far as points per game, people are melting down about it, but yet they keep getting there to the end.
Is that what you think a regression is, Ben? Because going back to what Gold was going to ask you, is them losing the division, is that the regression?
I think so.
Because to me, I think it is. Forget whether they win or lose it. I think if they get eliminated before the AFC title game, I know that sounds crazy, but I think that's the regression of them losing in the wild card or divisional round. That's the regression that I think people are really going to run with the narrative more of. Maybe the dynasty actually is kind of over once they stop making those AFC title games.
Yeah, I think the regression, if you're at, what does that look like? The bar is extremely high, but I think where what you're asking, the panic part of it and the freak out, it's if all of a sudden for the first time in what, 9 years, they don't win the AFC West. That's when the panic would happen. Yep. Would people be disappointed if they don't make a Super Bowl? Of course. I mean, because it is Super Bowl or bust when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. But as far as a true regression, it's that the O-line's not fixed and the Broncos or Chargers, one of those two teams gets you. You only win 11 games, they win 12, or you win 12, but they get the tiebreaker on you. And then this team, for the first time in the Mahomes era, is sitting there wild card weekend on the road.
You're not winning those one score games too. That's regression. I could see.
And people thought it was last year. They won 15 games, and you guys remember the conversations all year nationally and locally about, as you said, one score games and all, this team's just not good enough. It doesn't matter at all. And they still won 15 games and they went to a Super Bowl. Can you imagine in a year where they actually are like struggling, like truly struggling, as in the wins and losses? Since we've been doing this show, obviously Cody and I have been doing the show now, I guess going on our sixth year or whatever, all they have done is win 11 or more games, right? And most of those years, I think 12 or more, actually.
Well, even Andy Reid, his worst year is 9-7. That's the 1 year he didn't make the playoffs in 2014. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's his worst year is 9-7. And they've rebuilt this team right in front of you, too. Like, they've pretty much rebuilt that offensive line after that Buccaneers Super Bowl a couple years ago when they drafted Pacheco and Ozzie Johnson, Jalen Watson, and those guys, and they're playing in the Super Bowl. They were essentially rebuilding the team through the draft because they had to totally flip it. Look at this roster compared to when Mahomes started to what it is now and who's actually on the team. There's three of them besides Mahomes. I mean, they have rebuilt this roster, rebuilt this team. It's been unbelievable what Brett Veach has been able to do with this team, but can people handle regression? And then do you think, okay, this is, you know, stubbed your foot, stubbed your toe, this team's going to be fine the next year. But yeah, I mean, the Patriots went 10 years without winning the Super Bowl. Do I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl every year? No. Do I think they're going to go 10 years without not winning it? Hell no. It's Mahomes' prime. once you get to the 30s. So I don't see that happening. But I think people have a hard time with it, though. I really do. I think people have grown so accustomed to winning the division. And why wouldn't you? Mahomes, it was, what, one loss on the road in the division? I mean, they have owned this division. What happens if they do take that step back? I don't know if people can handle that.
Yeah, like so I think they're going to, not to the extent we're talking about, like, I still think they're going to win this division, but they're not winning 15 games again, right? That's not going out on a limb here saying, oh my gosh, they're not going to win 15.
But they easily won this division where you got three playoff teams in the West, the most in AFL.
Like I still think they're a 13-win football team. Worst case scenario, a 12-win football team. So if they're regressing by three wins, like for a lot of, by the way, that's what's crazy about the 15-win mark. If I told you any other team in football, guys, you were saying they're going to win three fewer games, you'd say, oh my gosh. Yeah. you'd be saying, wow. Well, that's the bar they have set. That's how great of a season that they had last year in terms of win-loss. What I have said about this AFC West this year is the Broncos are now heading, of course, into year two of Bo Nix. And I do like what they did in the draft, both on the defensive side and what they did in their backfield. And
like
I think
they'll be in the first round.
Yeah. And I think they'll be competitive. The Chargers, I still have some questions on where they're going to be at offensively in terms of explosiveness, but Harbaugh obviously has the mentality there now. And the pieces I actually think in place in terms of what he wants, right? His culture, if you will, that's a big thing. And they were ahead of a schedule last year. But I'm still trying to figure out how everybody makes up more than three games. If the Chiefs regress and win 12, so that's a three-win loss from a year ago, then who's increasing? The Chargers have to get to 12. They were at 11, weren't they, last year? Yep. And the Broncos were 10. So then either the Broncos are winning two more games, the Chargers are winning one. That's just to get to a tiebreaker scenario. The Chargers have to win two more games. The Broncos have to win three. And I know you'll say, hey, well, if the Chiefs are winning three fewer, don't you think one of those losses is now going to go to the Chargers?
And
or
the Raiders are automatic wins like they used to be.
Right. I understand if the Chiefs are going to win three fewer, most likely one of those losses is coming to a divisional team. Totally get that. I really struggle. I don't believe any other team in this division is capable of getting to 13 wins, is I guess what I'm saying. To me, the Broncos or Chargers are going to have to win off of a tiebreaker at 12 wins.
They won the division by four games. In a year where you had four playoff teams or three playoff teams in the AFC West, three, and yet you win the division by four. That's insane to win a division by four games, and yet three of those teams made the playoffs from that division. That is incredible what they did.
I'm curious to see what you guys think because I don't, to me, like regression by the simplest terms is if they only win 12 games this year. But to me, I look further like to the performance of the playoffs further regression because technically, like the Chiefs could go 10-7 this year, lose the division, but they still win the Super Bowl. So I think if they lose the division, everybody would be clamoring and complaining and whining, but then they could go on to win the Super Bowl again. So it's not a regression.
And they proved they could play on the road in the playoffs.
It was better than last year. So I think that's where I think the playoff performance essentially is the kind of the end all be all and everything because. They can go 10-7, and we could have the text line could be just full of they need to get rid of Andy all this craziness and people are freaking out.
Oh, the armchair Karens would be going crazy.
But then they could who?
The armchair Karens.
Oh, okay. Is that what you're calling them now?
Yeah.
But they could go 10-7. Everybody could be freaking out, and then they go on a run and they win the Super Bowl, and it's better than what they did last year when they won 15 games. So that's I don't think you could call 10-7 a regression if they went and they won the whole thing.
Regress two games to 13 wins, this division will be pretty close at that point because you mentioned the Chargers with 11 wins. The Broncos 10 last year. You would have to think they'd take that step up to at least 11 or 12. Do I expect this division to be four games difference between the Chiefs and the Chargers like it was last year? No. But it doesn't matter in the end. If you win the AFC West,
I think the first 2 weeks of the season, I don't want to say tells us everything, but man, oh man, because of the narrative around this football team after the Super Bowl loss and the way they looked and what people are saying nationally, it's the same offseason conversation where somehow every offseason people start to doubt Mahomes, et cetera. If the Chiefs go to Brazil and look great against the Chargers and then they win against the Eagles, the defending champs here at Arrowhead week two, all of a sudden, everything changes. And again, and I acknowledge the flip side of it, right? If the Chiefs were to start off, oh my gosh, 0-2 or something, then everybody see they're completely done. The first 2 weeks, I think, shifts so much narrative wise and how people are going to talk about how we're going to talk about this team for the first 2 months, 3 months of the season.
Every loss the Chiefs have gets magnified on all the shows. Every time they lose or barely win, they block the kick against the Broncos. That was talked about on every show nationally, NFL Network, ESPN Live, all that, the sky's falling. even when the Chiefs lose just one game, but if they do start in that hole, whoa, look out. Don't even turn your TV on.
And then in week four, they got the Ravens. So, right. I mean, obviously, you know.
Only they're looking for vengeance.
Yeah, coming up in about 8 minutes, guys, we'll talk about Caitlin Clark. I have a Caitlin Clark card update, and we'll talk about what happened in the WNBA last night, which I think it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you're the players in the league and why you continue to go after Caitlin Clark. She's the, obviously the most important thing for you to make money in the future, but we'll get to that in a bit. Thinking of making money, we'll get to Cash Out Bro later on now that the Stanley Cup is over and he did not hit his ticket, but there's some more details coming out around him. Plus, you'll want to hear what he had to say, but have you guys ever played the ESPN app game? It's been around for, I don't know, probably 20 years. Beat the Streak, and it's trying to break DiMaggio's record.
Yeah.
But based off of just, you can pick any player.
Yeah, I've done it.
You got to get to 57. Nobody's ever gotten to 57, and if you do, it's $5.6 million, right? 56, so $5.6 million. There was a player that had picked 50 straight, which is insane. 50 straight. And last night, he picked Jacob Wilson, which makes a lot of sense. Right? Jacob Wilson's a Rookie of the Year favorite, and this guy doesn't strike out.
No.
He doesn't walk, so he's getting on base. Like last night, final at-bat, bottom of the eighth inning, 1-1 game. Jacob Wilson, at that point, is 0-3, I think. So this guy needs a hit to stay alive to get the 51. And Jacob Wilson hits a fly ball, kind of what we saw last week against the Yankees, right? No man's land there in right field. The ball drops. They rule it fielder's choice.
Yeah.
The guy's streak is over. He was seven away from winning $5.6 million. He had picked 50 straight in. I don't know how many times he picked Jacob Wilson. It doesn't matter. Every day you can pick a different player, but you got to keep the hitting streak alive. It sounds easier. You're like, oh, that's not that bad. I can pick any foot. No. Yeah, it's the most I ever got on that streak game. I haven't played it in years, was like 28. And I thought that was amazing.
That's really
great. And that was it. That's the most ever. And that was probably 7+ years ago. But that's brutal, man. 50 right, and you're seven away, and you pick Jacob Wilson. You're thinking, oh my gosh, you wouldn't have picked a Royals player heading into last night, and they were the team that got a bunch of hits.
Probably wouldn't have handled that situation very well.
Oh yeah, that guy's sick to his stomach, and that's different. You know, this is different than the Cash Out Bro thing. I mean, this guy didn't have any money. He didn't have to pay any money.
No,
there was no cash out option on this. Like, he knew he had to get to 57. He'll never get closer than that. Like, and then also it ends on a fielder's choice. Ooh. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Up next, let's talk about Caitlin Clark. I got a card update and an interesting take from Ian Rappaport about Josh Simmons and how the Chiefs are handling him.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Heading into training camp.
I mean, is that displacement? I think it is.
Oh, and Marina Mabry is going to get ejected. If the officials saw that, Marina Mabry is going to get ejected.
Well, they're
going to
go and look at it. Look at Mabry. She's got a scar on one side, a scratch on one side of her face, a scratch on the other side. It's not from the game today. I asked her about it. She's always in the mix. There's a lot of contact here.
So that was the broadcast last night. WNBA. Drew was watching. It was on NBA TV, I believe. It was Indiana Fever, which is, of course, for those that don't know, the team that Caitlin Clark plays for. They were taking on one of the worst teams in the league in Connecticut Sun. And the Fever won like 88 to 70 or something like that.
Yeah, they won.
And there, what you heard there, though, in the third quarter, there was an incident where... Caitlin Clark actually received the technical foul after being hit in the face by J.C. Sheldon, and then she gets knocked to the ground. We can get into the specifics. Drew was actually watching. I only caught the highlight. But in general, I'll just say this every single game stuff. One, yeah, we're talking about the WNBAs. You could argue it's good, right? And Caitlin Clark, as we mentioned, the TV ratings are all because of Caitlin Clark. But the fact that so many players can't stand her, jealousy, among other things, I don't get it. This is your cash cow. Your future earnings, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the TV deals the league gets and all that, attendance, all of that, that allows you to eventually make more money yourself is because of her. Why are you trying to, you know, potentially hurt your gravy train, if you will, to making more money? I do not get this whatsoever. I understand the backstory on a lot of it. There's a jealousy component. Unfortunately, I think there's a racial component to some of this as well that plays into all of it. But I just don't get this on a night. Anytime she plays now, the opponents are trying to cause a fight, get her hurt. And now I'm excited to see that Caitlin Clark has said enough. I'm done with you guys. I'm going to fight back. And one of her teammates, Sophie Cunningham, backed her up and she got ejected from the game.
That was a straight takedown. I love seeing that, what she did defending her teammate. But I don't know why people do this in sports to the cash cows. What was the ratings? Down 50% when she was hurt?
Yes.
Across the league, 50% was the ratings drop when she wasn't playing. If that doesn't spell it out for anybody and everybody that in that league that knows she is the league, I liken it to Tiger Woods when he had his little indiscretion, right? And you hear these golfers, you know, talking trash and everything on him and thinking, man, the purse of these tournaments way up since Tiger's playing. I mean, here's a guy that's made him a ton of money and they're doing that. And then you hear some of the stuff about Mahomes and the league and the players. Hey, Chiefs were the first playoff team ever on Peacock, first ever on Netflix. I mean, the league uses the Chiefs. They are kind of the cash cow for the league that they benefit from. But yet they look at that and the jealousy does run rampant. It's not just with Caitlin. I've seen it in other sports like golf in the NFL as well. But the WNBA and Caitlin Clark, that is the only reason. That's why I threw it out there a couple weeks ago. It's like, can you actually watch these games or are you just watching her? Because I really wanted to know because actually I think you're watching because of her. That is completely when ratings are down 50% when she's hurt. That says all you need to know that they are watching her and her only, unless you're Drew.
I think that there were a couple instances like the one that you played coming back gold was the one that kind of set things off. So Mabry, you heard Pat Boylan was on the call, was like, you know, Mabry's going to get ejected. She wasn't even given anything other than she wasn't even given a flagrant. It was a technical foul, is what she got. That I think set the tone for. going forward, Caitlin Clark hit a late shot over Sheldon. She screamed to the bench and was like, you like that? She pulled a Kirk Cousins, was yelling at the bench and was, you know, everything like that. I think that also set people the wrong way, where J.C. Sheldon's got a fast break and Sophie Cunningham's like, look, you keep on getting into my teammate. I'm not standing for this anymore. I'm going to give you a hard foul, which is all I thought it was. Then the incident afterwards is what spurred on the technicals, the ejections, and everything like that. But from the jump, I think it was an officiating problem where they could have avoided that ladder issue if they would have been able to set the baseline of, okay, we're not going to allow this to happen. And I think over the course of they've allowed things to happen at an inconsistent level with whether it be Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese had her hair pulled the other day.
Right, I saw that.
And that was a really big deal. Obviously, if you get your hair pulled, I mean, it's going to be a problem, you know. Yeah. So I think
except that, the NFL, it's legal.
That's right. You can tackle.
Which is also ridiculous.
When Troy Polamalu was picking you off and running the opposite way, you can just tackle him by his hair.
It's not just a Caitlin Clark thing. But going back to the premise of everything, I think it's more jealousy than anything else, I think, Gold, where they know the way that she came into the league, everybody's talking about it like she's the best player. She's coming to take over. Everything's about her. And I think that really rubbed some people the wrong way, particularly those who are already settled in.
This is year two, though. You know what I mean? Why she's treating it differently. Yeah. I get in year one, you want to make a statement that, hey, you know, this is professional basketball. You're going to have to earn it kind of thing. But this is year two. I think she's already shown enough in the WNBA.
She's shown that she is a superstar.
Somebody texted in and said, you know, Caitlin, stop acting like she's a superstar. She's just a good player. I couldn't disagree
more.
She's the
league. I could not.
She might be right now, when we look at all the sports leagues,
the most important, the
biggest, what's the word? Needle mover, I guess, for any league in sports right now, in terms of someone say, hey, you guys are talking WNBA. That point right there. We had never talked WNBA on the show until Caitlin Clark became a member of WNBA. We don't talk about it a lot, admittedly, but we never would have even mentioned anything. You know how many people probably have no idea the Connecticut Sun even existed?
Well, who's the biggest star you think right now in the NFL? Who would you say is the biggest star?
In the NFL, I mean, Mahomes is still that.
So yeah. Mahomes is hurt for a couple weeks?
Yeah.
Ratings aren't dropping 50%. Like the WNBA.
Sure.
Ratings are not dropping 50%. That's all you need to know. When they look at their checking account, and they see their money coming in, when they fly on chartered flights now, thank Caitlin. Like, seriously, that's the reality of the situation. Their lives are better because of her, but they don't appreciate it.
To that point, I thought Nick Wright made a good point the other day. I don't know if it was on The Volume with Cowherd or if it was just on whatever show they have. He said behind LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant, Caitlin Clark might be the fourth biggest star in the sport of basketball, point blank. Just in terms of
maybe even bigger, honestly.
Name recognition, anything like that. Like, it's a, you know, she obviously is a very big deal.
We also brought it up because you guys that have listened to the show for a little bit or were listening at least at the end of April as well, remember the Caitlin Clark card. Bank, you're aware of the story, right? So
it's a lot of money.
And Dusty's into the cards. I got Dusty into it now. He had a nice hit the other day on a 101 Marlins prospect card. I don't want to share his full business if he said the dollar amount or not, but he had a nice little payday off of his card. And he's into it. A lot of people are into it. We know Bobby Wood Jr. is into it. Caglione's into it as well. But I was in a break and I pulled a Caitlin Clark 101 card. And so we mentioned on the show, you guys remember the story about the post office and the mess with the shipping. Long story short, it was supposed to be in the June auction.
You took the day off for it.
Well, because I had a sign for it.
Which you should have done.
And I've learned a little bit more throughout the process of what maybe I should have done, shouldn't have done. Listen to some people and I don't want to say was given bad advice. Long story short, so it was needed to be sent off to get graded and then go to an auction house. I sent it to the auction house, goes to PSA. There was an issue with how it was submitted, unfortunately. That delayed the process. Finally, last night, I don't have the card in my possession. It's at the auction house, but it got sent back to them and I found out what the grade was. A lot of you have been asking, what's the grade? And the grade matters, whether it's a 10, 9, whatever. Because the dollar amount, right? I was told if it's a 10, there's a chance it's a $20,000, $25,000 card. And I said, I don't think it's going to be a 10, but maybe it's a 9 or something like that. And so you're a $10,000, $15,000 card. So an update on this. Not the news I was hoping for, Bank. So it came back what they call PSA authentic. What that means is it did not come back as a 9 or a 10. You can basically have them.
But how, though? It was brand new. Didn't you put it in a case or something?
This is where it gets complicated.
It was brand new.
Here's where it gets complicated. Just because a card is pulled right out of the pack does not mean it's a 10. Does not mean it's a 9. I know that's crazy, but that's just not how it works. There could be print errors. There could be a lot of things. Now, I had the card at one point in my physical possession. With the naked eye, it looked amazing. But that, you have to understand, they look under it, you know, light and microscope, and there may have been something I missed. I'm still not convinced it shouldn't have been a 9 or a 10, obviously. I'm biased, and I haven't seen the card. I shipped it, protected, and all this. But long story short, so it's PSA authentic. Now, a couple things can happen. Somebody out there that wants to buy it in the July auction might say, oh, it looks good to me. I'll buy it. I'll crack the slab and I'll resubmit it to Beckett or PSA. Somebody else may also not care. But so it's a little disappointing. I mean, like, it's not going to go for $20,000 anymore is basically what this means. And now I have no idea. Is it going to go for five? Going to go for three? Going to go for 10? I don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's PSA authentic. Oh, it does not have a grade. It means it was not a 9 or a 10, though. Okay. And so it'll be in the July auction. But that's the update. Not the update I was hoping for. It's taken a lot longer than I was hoping for as well.
You want to punch Drew?
The PSA stuff is also very subjective. There are stories of people submitting a card, getting a 7 or an 8. Then they resubmit the same card, and it comes back as a 10. I'm serious. This is a real thing that happens. It's because there are people that are grading these, right? It could be as simple as somebody had a bad day that was grading it. I mean, it's crazy. You know, they are all over the place when it comes to grading. It's not consistent. They're grading tougher now. But PSA is the standard, and that's what usually brings the value. In hindsight, I should have just probably listed it off of eBay and sold it raw and seen what the offers were. I obviously had a $7,000 offer for it. And I turned it down. So now I'm hoping to at least get that. Otherwise, it ends up being a bad decision. So
The hedge guy.
Oh, the cash out bro guy?
Cash out bro guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, mine, I did not have extent at all.
I think gold is in the same, gold is in a better position currently, unless I think he's in a better position.
Yeah. So that's the update.
That sucks, man.
Some of you have been asking on Twitter and stuff. Let you know when it's in the auction. That'll be in July. Like, I think it goes live July 6th. I'll obviously post the link, and hopefully this thing goes still for a nice amount of money. But it's not gonna be $20,000.
You go in the auction?
It's online. It's for a month. It's online for a month. Yeah, I don't have to go.
I think he goes those sometimes, like Chicago and all that.
Oh, you're talking about the National Card Show. That's in Chicago at the end of July. Okay. I've gone to that twice.
Isn't that the Fanatics? Is that the Fanatics?
That's
card
different.
Show, or is it
Fanatics Fest is in New York, and that's coming up very soon. National is the biggest card show.
Okay.
And that's it rotates. It's in Chicago this year. I think it was in Atlantic City or something last year, or Cleveland, but yeah, man. So we'll see. I'm still excited. It's just now. It's been just the card was pulled April 26th, and it's June 18th, and we're still waiting for the auction to happen. So that's where things stand. Some of you have been asking about that. All right, let's talk about Josh Simmons, because Ian Rappaport on NFL Network the other day was discussing how the Chiefs are handling Josh Simmons. We all know that the Chiefs have talked about him being maybe ahead of schedule. They love the progress, but I'm still skeptical, as you are, about his availability day one at camp and his availability as a left tackle week one of the season. And what Rappaport says here doesn't make me feel that I shouldn't be still cautious about that. And here's what he had to say, Bink.
Well, to me, they stand in a really, really good place. What the Kansas City Chiefs did was not just draft Simmons in the first round, and you're right, fell to them, and this is someone I think they really secretly had their eyes on the entire time. They were really happy with where he was medically coming back from that torn patellar tendon. Not all teams were sure about this one. Chiefs were really happy with where he was. I think tried to keep it quiet because this is the player they wanted just because he's such an unbelievably talented tackle despite the injury. But they also don't want to rush him. So they're giving him some time off during the spring. They're making sure he has days to rehab and rehabilitate. They also signed Jalen Moore to come in and be their left tackle until whenever, basically until Simmons is ready, or maybe the entire year, or maybe Simmons starts out as the swing tackle. Most important thing for the Chiefs is they have talent there and they have depth there to not be caught short at one of the most important positions on the football field. And seeing the resources that they use to address this really underscores how important and essential they believe a good left tackle is.
Yeah, and some of the good news, too, about it is Andy Reid, when he talked in his presser, Simmons did, we played a little bit of it yesterday, that Andy Reid's talking to him all the time afterwards. And also Mitch Schwartz, I guess, is involved, too, as kind of a mentor, which is good. That is good for Simmons. Hopefully he takes that advice from somebody like Mitch, one of the best that's ever done it, hearing that. But the swing tackle thing and things like that, that kind of said tamper your expectations a little bit. You know, swing tackle, I mean, I've never heard, you know, those kind of terms. I can't see him being that situation, but will they take it slow in St. Joe? Yeah. I look at Wanye Morris last year. He was a starting left tackle all through OTAs. They get the training camp. That's when they put Kingsley in, right? So you can't always go by what went on in OTAs. It's when they get to St. Joe. it's pretty much your starting line when Andy Reid trots that line out there at that point. Now, it can change. Yeah. Do I expect Simmons to be in that group right from the beginning? No. I think it's going to
It's not even so much what unit he's working with. If he's with the ones or the twos, is he just on the field practicing? I actually feel great. If you tell me that the first or second day we're up in St. Joe and Simmons is not, and he's working with the twos and Jalen Moore is working with the ones, that's actually awesome. Yeah, I mean, it really is. The question is he working with anybody or is he working on the side in a tent on a bike? Is he going back up the hill at St. Joe? That's where you get concerned. And what I'm still very cautious about and why you and I both think there is still, I'd say, better than 10-20% chance that he's on the pup list still to start the season. I know the Chiefs have not said that.
He'd have to miss the first four games, yeah. But,
and that's not the end of the world. Okay. It's not the end of the world, but it's great that he's out there during minicamp and mandatory OTAs, but you even heard from Rappaport, like they're giving him a day off after, like that is fine now. But when you get to camp, if you're getting days off, well, then you're not going to be in position to start week one. You're going to be on the pup list. If you're having to take a day or two off after practicing at camp, well, then you should start the season on the pup list. And then based on how Jalen Moore looks, like if Jalen Moore is playing great the first month of the season, well, then
that's the wild card right there, how good he is.
Then you keep him as a starter, and it's a good problem to have. If Jalen Moore is not playing great, or Juwan Taylor's not playing great, and then it gets to week five or six or whenever, and Josh Simmons is good to go, well, then you can make a change then. So they actually do have, I will say, you know, the depth in the options they have are definitely better positioned than what they had, it appears, at least, heading into the season compared to last year.
I just hope that it gets to a situation where, and I don't expect it right from the beginning. I do expect them to take it a little bit slow. It's going to be different, man. Pads are going to be on. It's going to be much different than walking out there like, you know, we're seeing now with the mini camps and wearing the shorts and everything. Much, much different once the pads come on and guys are trying to make the team and you're going against elite NFL talent trying to earn that roster spot and protecting Patrick Mahomes. But that's the ultimate thing, but it goes back to yesterday. You think about how good the offensive line in theory was last year. I know some of the pass blocking grades were good. When you have first-team All-Pros and Tooney at left guard and Creed Humphrey at center, obviously Tooney's gone. But last year, that was your line during Barry talks about the line and the problems they had in the line, and every mock draft had them getting left tackle because they considered it such a problem, which it is. It shows you how important that left tackle position is. If you're that good in the interior part of your line, but yet you still worry about the offensive line, it's really just worrying about one position. That's left tackle.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll talk a little bit about where the NFL and all these sports leagues are headed when it comes to how we watch these particular games, right? We all know the additional TV packages and the different time slots and all of that. For the first time ever, something has happened with streaming. We'll explain what that is in about 10 to 12 minutes or so. But Stephen A. Smith, who is the face of ESPN, who everybody at this point in time knows whether it's sports or not, he's a very polarizing figure. That's why he's making a ton of money. He was at the NBA Finals a couple nights ago, and somebody in the stands, for whatever reason, decided to zoom in on Stephen A. Smith's phone from the upper deck. You guys have probably seen this story by now, but he was playing solitaire like during a commercial break of the Pacers Thunder game.
There was action on the court. He claimed that it was during break.
Right.
There was a video that came out. There was action on the court and he was still playing it.
And he was on Sirius XM yesterday and he was asked about playing solitaire during the game.
I could also be playing a little game on my phone.
That's right. Like
right
I was doing
now.
Solitaire.
I mean, what's going on here?
And I was doing what the hell I always do. And for those out there who don't like it, kiss my ass. When I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. If there's a break in the action, it could be a dead ball. It could be a timeout or something like that. I can play the damn thing for 2 seconds. Somebody is standing over me, upper deck, zooming in on my phone, watching me and saying, oh, he's playing solitaire. He's not focusing on the game. I watch over 100 games a year. I'm on TV every morning for 2 hours, 10 hours live every day. And that's just one job. That don't count Countdown. That don't count SportsCenter. That don't count all the obligations that I have. And I'm sitting there and getting a little break, and I decide to play a little solitaire, which, by the way, I always do. And I mean always. If I sit up there, if there's halftime, I might go on my phone for 2 minutes and play solitaire. At the end of the game, before a game, I do the same thing. Damn it, if you had a little break in between, I might have been praying it again because I like the game.
How'd you do in that particular game? game.
I won that particular game. I worked too damn hard, too long, too many hours to be wondering, to be worried about what people think I'm doing for 30 seconds. They can kiss off. I ain't worried about it. This is what I do. I do what I do.
So that's Stephen A.
Loved it.
On SiriusXM. So it's funny. I actually don't have that as big of a problem with it as I guess some people have. Is it a quote unquote, I mean, we always say bad look or whatever? I guess, right? You're getting paid to cover the game. That's your job and all that. And if it's you were playing it while the game was going on, yeah, it's not a good look. In general, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? No, I find it to be pretty humorous at this point. I couldn't tell you the last time I played solitaire. Do you guys play on your phone?
No, not
it's
bad.
It's been a while.
I mean, who cares, though? You always hear with the players, you know, stick to the playbook. Look at the playbook. Why is he out doing the concert? Why is he out there, you know, doing other stuff? Why aren't you doing the playbook and learning the plays for the team? You hear that all the time. Haven't really heard it with somebody in the that covers the games like Stephen A., but who really cares what he's doing? And here's the thing. How many other people have done much of the same thing but didn't have someone spying on them from the upper deck?
I think it's different when you're getting when you're at the game. Like, is the players going to the club or whatever on a weekend when they're mm-hmm. not, it's not like they're passing up a game or missing practice to go do it.
No, but they still complain about it. People do.
No, I know that, which is why I think it makes sense that people are complaining that Stephen A. is doing this while the game is going on, when it's his job to cover it and
I wouldn't
talk
have
about
chosen
it
to do
and
that.
And analyze it.
Yeah, if I was Stephen A., I wouldn't have chosen to do that. I just don't think it's all that big of a deal.
It's not a big deal.
I don't think it is as much as people are saying. However, I will say there have been instances where the conversation doesn't feel as deep as it should about basketball. Like the other day, game four of the finals was on, and they were talking about whether or not Luka's legacy was, or if his leadership was good or not. Not even talking like the topic selection isn't.
Well, they have producers. He's not selecting the topics. I mean, he has a role, but they got producers for that.
It's of which something that they're not analyzing the game sure. to the lengths of what other people are. When it's the biggest series of the season.
Drew, you've been a few press boxes now, have you? I know you've been a bunch, Gold. What's the number one thing the media is doing during the game? I mean,
eating.
During the game,
eating.
All no, they're playing. They're on Twitter.
A lot of them are typing their story.
They're on Twitter.
Depends,
they are.
It depends on who it is.
No, it depends. If you're in the NFL press box, everybody's got their laptop up. You know what they're doing? They're checking Twitter to have their takes put out there. It's a common thing that people that cover games.
Yeah, but
I don't want to hear anybody criticizing him, really, because that's what everybody does during games is something else, because I've seen it.
But, Bink, if Stephen A. was going on there to talk about, the fact that Tyrese Haliburton hasn't scored anything and he's tweeting that out, fine. He's playing a game, and he's getting and it is a distraction, regardless of anything else. That's the same reason John Morant called him out yesterday, because he was slamming the city of Memphis, and then John goes, you're not even talking about the series that's going on right now. You're worried about something that is a complete off-season conversation that can come up in 2 weeks when the series is over with. Talk about the series. Focus on the game so you can talk about the series.
I'm just saying there's a whole bunch of not paying attention to the game with people in the press boxes.
Yeah, I just
I'll tell you that firsthand.
Yeah, it's as I said. I in general, I don't think Stephen A. Smith's analysis though is deeply affected because he was caught playing solitaire for a few minutes.
I don't think it is either, but I understand why people are frustrated.
Again, it's the look thing because the optics are not great.
Agree.
I'll give
it's
you
a
that.
Bad look.
I'll give you that. It was his answer. His response to it is pretty funny.
Oh, it's great.
He just leaned into it and he's like, kiss my ass. I play solitaire.
Perfect.
that's what he said. Good for him. All right,
he got him into a big game. You know, and he's timeout and players went back out there, but he's got to finish up what he's doing.
Up next, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We're just getting started on a Wednesday. Something happened with streaming for the first time ever, what it tells us about the future of sports. And we got to get to Cash Out Bro, whose ticket did not cash, but he still came away with money. But I'm a little skeptical. That's next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.